Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we give you the lowdown on what events and anniversaries are coming up around the world this week. Please subscribe if you're not already and let us know in the comments what you think of the events we discuss and even if we've missed any. I have to say, we didn't see Donald Trump's assassination attempt coming up last week, so I'm sorry about that.
Yes, we did, Millie.
Was that in the bit that was cut out last week when you froze?
I mean, it's a bit of a shame because Trump said it would happen. So did Tucker Carlson. True. So did loads of people. You mean you didn't say that? That's a bit of a... We'll forecast the next assassination. Don't worry.
Don't worry. We're here. So subscribe for assassination predictions. Anyway, we better begin Monday, 15th of July, 2024. Now, kind of off the back of the assassination attempt, first on Monday, Joe Biden is doing an interview with NBC's Leslie Holt. I think on Monday it will be his first interview since Trump's assassination attempt. I think he's going to do it from the White House, though, actually. He was meant to be in Texas as planned, but because this has happened, he's retreated back home. He was meant to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, if you remember, that we've spoken about in recent weeks. Trump as well, over the weekend on Sunday, did an interview with the New York Post. That's his first interview. I don't know, how is this going to change the election? We're getting rhetoric from both Biden and Trump that they're going to really tone down the politics of the election, and they're going to try not to attack each other so much. I mean...
60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. That's what Biden is doing at the in Austin,
but
Texas.
He was meant to be, but he's not going anymore.
Oh, well, that's kind of apt, because we've got to remember that the United States has only been a democracy for 60 years. That's not long. So we should expect assassinations and extreme violence. And of course, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, the United States, his own country, is the greatest purveyor of violence, political violence, in all of the world, which makes it seem very strange when you have the Japanese FT saying, it's time for moderate voices of America to step back into the arena. And this family-owned newspaper, oligarch-owned newspaper, something about an eruption of political violence. That is all the United States does, political violence. So when you hear leaders around the world going, oh, political violence is terrible, that, what do they think is happening in Gaza? As for the assassination attempt itself, very clear that this is a country, the United States, which won't unseal documents about the assassination of an actual sitting president, John F. Kennedy, in 1963. So this is a state that is covered up for political assassinations for... That's older than the Civil Rights Act, isn't it? Because that was in 64. Mm-hmm. This country, and if Trump had been killed, of course, we would have seen civil war break out in the United States. And it's a country immiserated, 40 million on food stamps, reliant on federal aid to eat tonight. It is amazing. And of course, Western Europe is tagged along its entire future to this failing state. It might not be a failing state soon, though. Because I think, too early to tell, because Donald Trump last time when he was president did what every swamp creature would want him to do, despite saying he wanted to drain the swamp. So far, very surprising how Donald Trump's reaction has been, hey, you know, thank you to the Secret Service.
Mm.
What do you think, Millie, thanking the Secret Service? What do you think of the performance of the Secret Service?
That there are many conspiracy theories, obviously. I guess, you know...
The term conspiracy was invented by the CIA, wasn't it? So that you could stop people thinking about the truth. That's the history of the word.
No one knows exactly what happened. For sure, there's many questions, investigations ongoing. As always, we may never really know an answer, as is the case with John F. Kennedy's assassination. People still query that. But I suppose any move towards a peaceful rhetoric is a good thing.
There's no peaceful rhetoric because they're carrying out genocide.
Well, in the sense of the US election, perhaps it's a good thing. And you mentioned 60 years since democracy. You've got to remember, I think this Civil Rights Act, the anniversary, that was the 1964 Civil Rights Act, I believe. The right to vote for Black people didn't come in until a few years later. So this is a completely different thing entirely.
So look how young democracy is in the United States. And people go, oh, you know, January 6th, this is happening, this is happening. Any state that's this young, it's too early to really say whether it is democratic. And most people, I think, around the global South would say the United States isn't democratic because it's about money. You need billions of dollars if you want to become a politician or president in the United States. That's not democratic. The media is controlled by an oligarchy. There's mass censorship de facto in that country. And I mean, who's to say that the United States won't turn back and disenfranchise even more people than it has already? I think it disenfranchises its prisoners with the largest detention population in detention per capita in world history. Is that? And of course, well, it's dealing out genocide. How ironic that Merrick Garland on Monday, July 15th, at 1:30 in the afternoon, Las Vegas time, will be talking about law enforcement. Merrick Garland. How can this man be talking about law enforcement if he thinks it's fine that the United States is supplying arms to commit genocide in this region?
Who is he? Who is this guy?
The Attorney General, isn't he?
The Attorney General.
Okay. Yeah.
And
the U.S. Attorney, Sue Fahami. I mean, it's absurd that they vetoed the ceasefire resolution at the UN Security Council. They have no right to talk about justice. Anyway, back to Monday.
On law enforcement and a political violence on Monday as well, until Friday, there's a pre-trial hearing due in the case of five alleged 9/11 co-conspirators charged with planning and executing the terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers on 11th September 2001. I think four of them are going to be tried together. One is going to be tried separately due to
health
issues. This is going to be happening in none other than Guantanamo Bay.
That's not even the United States. It doesn't even belong to it's occupied Cuba, territory of Cuba. It's a torture camp.
Yeah, and these, what's interesting, these particular five, I think they were captured in 2002 and in 2003, sent to Guantanamo Bay, where they've been for over 20 years. This trial was meant to go ahead in January 2021, but was postponed because of COVID. And there were personnel changes, plea negotiations. One was unfit to stand trial. As I say, he's got some sort of mental incompetence, that they say. A bit of a complex case, I think, and they'll face the death penalty if found guilty. But they've been in Guantanamo now for over 20 years, where a lot of people are kept without trial for a long time. But I don't know if this trial is ever going to go ahead.
Which one is this? Because, you know, I worked for, I was the first ever employee of Al Jazeera Arabic, working on the program that uncovered the plot of 9/11, at least the surface plot of 9/11, which led to arrests and people taken to Guantanamo. I think some of the cases are these. Of course, none of them can ever happen. They can never be allowed to speak, although I suppose they must have considered, because that's how the United States' rule of law works, of slicing off the tongues of these people. So they couldn't speak about the United States bankrolling the movement that would lead to 9/11. We know that Britain and the United States supported those people when they were in Yugoslavia, let alone before they went into encampments and headquarters in Afghanistan. There are two other big things today, more important than that sham case that, as you say, kicked off the terror atrocities by the US and Britain in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, who knows who else. The big thing that starts on Monday, July the 15th, is the third plenum of the Chinese Communist Party, the most powerful country economically by GDP in the world, is having the third plenum, major policy changes.
What is the third plenum?
You know what?
Policy changes.
All these think tanks in Washington that are always talking about China and the need to go to war with China, let's be in no doubt that the NATO summit that we talked about last week was clear that Russia is not the main enemy, China is the main enemy. all the think tanks were saying was, it's the third plenum, this is incredibly important. And then no one really explained what the third plenum was, do you? Why is it called the third one? And why is it more important than the second or the fourth?
First.
China GDP out on Monday the 15th, though. Expect the financial press in NATO propaganda media to be saying, oh, Chinese economy, very iffy at the moment. Of course, it's not iffy because even though BlackRock results out also on Monday the 15th, they're going to show their takeover of dictator Zelensky's Washington proxy state, Ukraine. BlackRock are doing well. Goldman Sachs are doing well. China's doing better, I think.
Okay, well, we've got more China, I think, later in the week. But also, on Monday, meanwhile, the new UK Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, is still in Israel. He's been there over the weekend. Where
Who's he?
David Lammy, the UK Foreign Secretary.
The black Foreign Secretary, bankrolled by Trevor Chin, an Israeli lobbyist.
Don't think it matters what colour he is, does it?
I think the black British community would hope that he would do something for people of colour, but of course David Lammy supports the slaughter in Gaza.
Well, no, I think what's important here, he's been with Netanyahu over the weekend, he's been with the Palestinian authorities, Mahmoud Abbas. He called for a complete ceasefire on both sides, including the release of hostages.
Wait. Did he call for the end of British armaments?
Well,
sold to Israel to slice off babies' heads.
Well, listen to this. He's called for a complete ceasefire. I assume he didn't have actual meetings with Hamas about releasing hostages to make the request. But I'm sure, you know, as he's come to save the day, Netanyahu's definitely going to listen to him. Hamas is definitely going to listen to him. And he's going to be the hero of the Middle East, isn't he? Surely.
The British Foreign Secretary is an Israeli asset. He's an Israeli asset. Look up David Lammy, Israel. Look at his connections with the Washington state. He's a puppet, slave of the American state. And I notice that suddenly people are going, oh, no, the U.S. built $230 million pier is a failure. What was that U.S. pier that Blinken was talking about? Why is it a failure?
Down, hasn't it?
Yeah, what was that pier?
It wasn't
a failure. It was a good $230 million. Obviously paid to U.S. Contractors who bankroll the politicians in Washington as a test for the future occupation of Gaza and invasion of Gaza after they've wiped out, I mean, every hour, although it may not be on NATO propaganda news like CNN, BBC, Sky News, every hour they are murdering child after child after child. You mentioned a British foreign secretary. It's St. Swithin's Day on Monday the 15th, and that means what? The Bishop of Winchester. If it rains on St. Swithin's Day, it rains in Britain for 40 days. I think it is raining already for our British viewers. But that won't stop Britain bankrolling and the historical record of Britain bombing the ancient capital of Damascus. Because today, Monday, July the 15th, is election time in Syria.
It is legislative elections. Well, 250 members voted to the Syrian parliament for 4-year terms. I think as well in the last election, which was 2020, the majority of the seats went to Bashar Assad's Ba'ath party. He's been president since 2000. I think it's expected to win again in this parliamentary election. There aren't many incumbent candidates, although, from that party, which made the final list. So I think there's going to be a bit of a reshuffle within the party. What do you think people around the world are going to make of the Syrian election? There are obviously many ribs. They say it's unfair. They say it's a dictatorship.
Oh, well. We know who's the dictator of Britain. It's the banking system and the oligarchs that run it, who run the media and all the rest of it. The lowest turnout, the most unpopular prime minister became prime minister in Britain. Syria clearly victorious against Britain. The United States that have been bombing it, against Israel that's been bombing it just in the past few days, armed by Britain and the United States. When I spoke to President Assad during the war, flying into Damascus, he said it was a socialist country. I'm not exactly sure about how socialist it is, but of course it is a wartime economy because of what Britain, the United States, and the European Union have done to it. They've tried to starve the children of Syria. They say they're giving aid to Syria. No, they're not. They're giving aid to Islamist groups. They created ISIS, Daesh. That's what Britain, the United States, the European Union did. They made Hollywood films extolling the virtues of CIA, MI6 cutouts like the White Helmets. It's disgusting what they've done to Syria. But Syria has been victorious and is, of course, now helped in the New World Order by China, Russia, India. Who knows who else? So a great future for Syria. Let's hope for the Syrian people, despite what Washington, London, and Brussels are trying to do to it.
And I think as well, there are elections in Rwanda, also affected by British policies. Their presidential elections on Monday. Also, it's 30 years since the genocide in Rwanda, where, as we said before, 800,000 people were reportedly killed.
At the hands of historic Belgium. Belgium, of course, where the EU Parliament is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right, where they've historic, got their day.
That's what the Rwanda genocide was about, wasn't it?
And they've got their day later on in the week, which we'll go on to. But now the Rwanda president, he's elected now for a five-year term. It was 7 years, but this, for the first time, is going to be 5 years.
He's just a Washington puppet. He has no power whatsoever.
There's been Paul Kagame. Paul Kagame won 99% of the vote.
99%?
99 again. A lot of people say it's unfair or rigged, although I don't think there are many elections we've covered, Afshin, where people don't class it as unfair or rigged.
Yeah, but I mean, 99%, you can't get 99% of the vote in any election by definition, can you? I mean, yeah,
well, I think a lot of people obviously criticize it. It's seen as a dictatorship. There's two opposition candidates. Most were barred from running. Whether they're truly opposition, I'm not sure. But he's been president now for 24 years since the year 2000, the same length of time as President Assad in Syria, funnily enough. He's a former military officer. He can only run again for two more five-year terms, but that would put it to, 30 or so years. He did actually say, though, in 2023, he's looking forward to retiring and he's hoping to become a journalist when he retires. But at 66, still no signs of...
This Kagame character, he backs Israel's genocide, doesn't he? As well. He's a complete puppet of the United States.
As much as what the UK and the US and many...
I think many people think it's time for a revolution in Rwanda. And overthrowing this IMF-backed Washington proxy. Yeah.
And we just have to quickly mention, obviously there was issues with the British policy to send people of colour on boats over to Rwanda. New UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has scrapped this plan to send migrants to Rwanda, but Rwanda is refusing to pay a refund. The UK has sent... £220 million to Rwanda, and it was set to send a few hundred million more. But they've said, we've completed our obligations under the agreement by preparing for the arrival of migrants. The decision to terminate was the UK's responsibility. Therefore, we are not bound to return the funds. So that's wasted money that the UK is sent to the country and not giving it back.
I mean, Britain, in any case, is going to collapse any moment, isn't it? Because if the winter is very cold, it has deep problems with its energy reserves. It backed the CIA attack on the Nord Stream pipeline and who knows what else, let alone the proxy war on Russia through Ukraine. In fact, the Starmer government has said it's fine for the Storm Shadow missiles being donated to the dictator of Kiev, Zelensky, to hit inside Russia, which makes Britain a direct target. Yeah, the Rwanda genocide, France, of course, launched an intervention in the midst of that, which only exacerbated the problem. And I think you can normally see any of these developing nations, if they support Israel's genocide and the slicing off of babies' heads in Gaza, is clearly a puppet of Washington. And the fact it could even do that deal with Britain, although in fairness to Kagame, he did make cash off of that, didn't he? Off the British taxpayer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, just before we move on to Tuesday, I just want to quickly mention on Monday, a UN report is coming out called the Global Foresight Report on Planetary Health and Human Wellbeing, which apparently outlines 8 critical shifts and 18 signals of change that the world needs to track and prepare for. So it'll be interesting to see what that report says on Monday.
I know what we missed. Speaking about the attempt to kill Donald Trump, not by lawfare this time, persecution, the attempts to psychologically torture him with the authorities. It's something called the Republican National Convention. Of course, everyone talked about the fact the assassination attempt was meant to kill him just before the RNC convention in Milwaukee. I don't know whether you...
That's later in the week, though, I think.
No, it kicks on Monday the 15th.
Oh, it might kick off then, but yeah.
Trump, yeah, make wealthy...
Still later in the week. Yeah.
Monday's theme is Make America Wealthy Once Again, and it's in Milwaukee, which, of course, was famous for hosting
Wisconsin,
the...
Right?
What?
Wisconsin. Milwaukee in Wisconsin. Continue.
It was where Happy Days happened. I'm probably too young for Happy Days. It was this whites only...
I've never known a happy day in the time I've been
all
around.
Right. Happy Day, the Fonz, all of that stuff. One of its main characters ended up as a big film director. Nice. Anyway, it tried to create an idea of America in the 50s that was lovely because there were no black people. And that's what U.S. drama does. It reflects prevailing propaganda images of the deep state to wipe out the imaginations of people. I notice you don't mention England losing at the Euros. Having said that, Spain didn't really win the Euros, did it? Because Russia were banned from Euros 2024. Only a team that can beat the Russian football team can actually be said to have won Euros 2024 because Russia were kicked out. They were going to qualify, but Russia were kicked out. And Ukraine was put in its place because that's how UEFA, these sports federations in Europe, think everything is politics to them. Everything must reflect the military industrial complex of NATO. That's what sport is about in Western Europe. So Spain didn't win the Euros. And notice Wimbledon. They did allow the Russian player Medvedev, who is what, number four in the world, to go, but they had to take out and erase his country. That's how Wimbledon tennis championships see Russia, the largest country in the world. They erased his country and nationhood. That's what's going to happen in Paris.
Well, I didn't see you predict these results for last week. Of course, last week.
I did. I said whoever wins on Sunday has to play Russia to win the Euros. That's pretty good.
Okay, so that's to come later in the week then. Okay, well, subscribe, and we better move on to Tuesday.
Tuesday, July the 16th, subscribe.
Subscribe. Tuesday until Friday, the first plenary sessions in the European Parliament since last month's elections. It's expected there's going to be a vote, though, on confirming European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen for a second term. Good for her. And also a vote on Roberta Metsola to stay on as President of the European Parliament.
Is it a myth, by the way, that von der Leyen is the child of Nazis? Is that just a propaganda myth? It's not actually true.
Not something I know about, but I mean...
But clearly Ursula von der Leyen supports...
So it kind of...
Supports the people with the badges of Bandera in Kiev today.
Sure. Of course, we can't fault anyone who's a descendant from Nazis, as many Absolutely. People in German are, of course. It's not their fault.
I was not going to do that at all.
Okay.
You said that specific. I mean, Millie, clearly, something in your family, very dark there.
Okay. European Parliament, anyway, 705 seats in total. I don't know if we quite mentioned the results, but we've got a group of the European People's Party centre-right kind of grouping, which won the majority of the seats, 188, and the Socialists and Democrats won 136 seats. And this far-right Patriots for Europe bloc won 84, and that's the bloc that seems...
Far-right? What do you mean far-right? They're not Nazi.
Far-right in quotations.
Why do they call them far-right? They're not pro-Nazi. They're the opposite of far-right because they're opposed to the right sector in Ukraine, which Britain and France and Germany as
well, that's not purely the road definition, government. Though, the sort of the nationalist aligned bloc.
It's definitely not far right.
That doesn't make you a Nazi, of course, just because you might be right-wing inclined.
The current Chancellor of Germany, Scholz, is incredibly far right, isn't he, to the far right people you talked about, because Scholz supports the people wearing the Nazi emblems. and sending the missiles and tanks to the dictatorship in Kiev.
Okay. A spectrum, we can say then.
Are you saying I'm on the spectrum?
I would never.
Who cares? They're just a puppet parliament. They have no power whatsoever, as we know. And it's the UN Security Council, which Lavrov chairs, about a just world order. That's what's happening on Tuesday, July the 16th.
This debate on the parameters, the parameters of a just world order. What do you think a just world order looks like that Lavrov...
I think it's kind of easy, isn't it? It's the birthday of Ali Khamenei, the second supreme leader of Iran, and Holocaust Memorial Day. The just world order kind of combines both the head of state of Iran's idea of an anti-imperialism, I think, should do, and the need to remember the Holocaust, which is commemorated in France on July the 16th. Lavrov should use both of those at the UN Security Council, because only a just world order can only happen with the end of US empire, multipolarity, multipolar nodes, and the remembrance of the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, and the eternal need for vigilance to prevent anything like that happening again, which is, of course, happening again, because the British medical journal, peer-reviewed, although this paper wasn't, about Gaza said maybe 10%. How many? 9% of the population of Gaza has been wiped out, equivalent to 27 million Americans killed.
Something
that's a
like
Holocaust
that.
In Gaza.
Yeah, maybe they'll be talking about it at the Aspen Security Forum, possibly, on Tuesday until Friday in Colorado. This is an annual event, the Aspen Security Forum, where officials, specialists, journalists from around the world come and talk about security issues. It's run by the Aspen Institute, which, if you're wondering, is funded by the Carnegie Corporation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Gates Foundation, the Lumina Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, among others. On the first day, the US ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns, is going to speak. He's probably going to be talking about how much of a danger China is to the United States and to the world. He's been very critical of China. He's criticized China's Article 23 national security legislation. And he says the military and tech competition is going to deepen. Although China has criticized his criticisms by saying it does nothing to help grow the relationship between the US and China with this very critical rhetoric. He's going to be kicking off this forum, but there are going to be many speakers throughout the week, including the CIA's Bill Burns, Antony Blinken, and Jake Sullivan. What do you make of this forum, the Aspen Security Forum?
So it's completely undemocratic, as you said. It's bankrolled by these huge corporations that made their money, like Rockefeller, Ford, and so on, off loads of dodgy deals and dodgy business practices. So that's what bankrolls it. It's anti-democratic because these are oligarchs. No one elected Antony Blinken. He wasn't democratically voted in. He's a butcher of Gaza, as considered by most of the Global South and certainly the Palestinians. So who are these people at the Aspen Security? I think there was a scene in Succession, the great drama series about with Brian Cox, about a succession in a media, global media empire, about how showing how these strange conferences where the ordinary American is not allowed to go to, they're behind barbed wire fences, who knows what else, Aspen, because of huge security, they're up on a mountain. And there we have, as you said, the head of this, what's the National Security Council Homeland Security Advisor, Elizabeth Sherwood Randall. What's she doing there? Shouldn't she be trying to work out something about how to protect the homeland and protect democracy in the United States, given the leading opposition candidate at November's election just had shots to the face?
Well, I think actually the director of the Secret Service is also going to be talking at this
event. Is that the next day?
Yeah, explaining why they only through the skin of their teeth managed to save the former US president and potential next one. Only by a fluke, by luck.
But if anyone's watching and is going to the Aspen Security Forum, why don't you comment below and tell us what it's like?
Yeah, let us know.
I never got an invite. You said journalists are invited, Millie. Why aren't you there?
No, not very fair. I take security seriously. So do you. We belong, surely.
Lots happening, actually. I mean, on that same day, The Kosovo war crime suspect Peter Schaller is going to be at The Hague. This is interesting because how long ago was the Yugoslav war and the destruction of Yugoslavia by NATO countries when Britain bombed Belgrade for 78 days? Djokovic, though he may have lost Wimbledon on Sunday, infamously said that he cowered in his home as a kid from the British warplanes bombing Belgrade. They didn't mention that at Wimbledon either, did they? But the Kosovo Liberation Army accused of murder, torture, cruel treatment, arbitrary detention. There'll be no press about Tuesday, July the 16th, 2 o'clock hearing at The Hague, because if there were, it would remind people about how Britain, the United States, collaborated to destroy the last socialist-orientated country in Europe. They bombed the Chinese embassy in Belgrade. And, of course, Yugoslavia had a fully functioning healthcare system that was free at the point of use, but a proper one, not like the fake one in Britain, the NHS, which has some of the worst outcomes, I understand, or waiting lists in Europe, in the world.
True. I suppose, of course, they would say they were defending the people there. Is what they would say. But perhaps the most important event of Tuesday until Wednesday, Amazon Prime Day, to those who shop on Amazon, meant to be giving some big discounts, but only for Amazon Prime members, which currently cost, I think, $15 a month. So the majority of people can't afford that anyway. I think Amazon estimates this year's sales will jump by 7% on Prime Day, and although Amazon doesn't like to reveal how much revenue it makes ever, particularly on this day, apparently last year's event resulted in the single largest sales day in the company's history. So it's going to be a big payday for Amazon on Tuesday.
Are you getting, in that veiled criticism, there's still kind of promotion, but it's weird. It's an Irish company, isn't it, Amazon, even though it's one of the largest companies in the United States for tax reasons. So it dodges the taxes. That's why whenever you buy from Amazon on your credit card statement, you always have these odd places that Amazon is registered at. And Amazon, of course, provides the servers for the CIA and for the Israeli military to target Gaza. And as I said, look it up.
And the funding,
they're beheading babies. They are beheading babies with the targeting from Amazon servers. So next time you buy from Amazon, and let's face it, they're such a convenient to buy from a company. And because of that monopoly power, can get you great prices. 6 years ago, Donald Trump and Putin were in Helsinki meeting. What a difference 6 years has been. We're now on the threshold of World War III, according to many analysts, given that Britain and the United States and so on are giving ever more weaponry to the dictator of Ukraine and saying you can hit inside Russia. Let's hope they'll be detourned soon. And it just goes to show that Tuesday, July the 16th, when the, I think all 3 days of this week, the UN High-Level Political Forum on Sustainable Development, it just illuminates the fact that these sustainable development conferences are utterly idiotic.
Yeah.
When they move, it finishes on Wednesday.
Going on for a couple of weeks, isn't it? We mentioned that one.
You're right. Yeah. It finishes on Wednesday. But it's utterly useless because the United States is sending cluster bombs to Ukraine to pollute and destroy the soils of this country. Even if Russia did lose the war, which it won't, the soils and everything are being destroyed. The amount of carbon emissions from the warships sent to attack Yemen for its solidarity with the Palestinian people, the amount of carbon emissions because of the warships sent to attack China. I mean, no one cares about sustainable development of the environment. And where is that Greta Thunberg? Why isn't she? She did say some things for Palestine. Where is she against the Ukrainian government? She was with the dictator, Zelensky. Israel and the path to peace at the Republican National Convention in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee.
In Wisconsin.
That's where the Israeli lobby gathers to tell those supporting Donald Trump must nuke Gaza. And Trump, obviously his son-in-law, keen Zionist, they must finally destroy the idea of a Palestinian state forever. I think that's what Trump stands for. Isn't it how ironic that his assassination attempt was not from a person who supported the Palestinians, but from someone who supported Joe Biden? I don't know. We don't know.
He was a Republican, wasn't he? that guy, registered Republican.
But who voted Biden? The DNC have a platform committee.
To Biden previously, so a bit odd. Anyway.
If anyone wants to hack the DNC platform committee, let's not forget the DNC chair had to resign after WikiLeaks showed how Hillary Clinton was manipulating elections within the DNC some years ago. Mm. They're having some virtual meeting for their in the run-up to their August convention. And I'm sure you're going to get onto it, the Pacific Island Leaders Meeting in the United States colony of Japan.
Oh, is it still on Tuesday?
Tuesday, July the 16th.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You weren't so into it?
No, I did. I wasn't aware of that one.
Are these actual countries? The Cook Islands, Federated States of Micronesia, Fiji, Kiribati, Marshall Islands, Nauru, Palau, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu. What do all these countries, Australia, New Zealand, what do these countries all have in common? They're all satellites of the United States. They have.
We mentioned these countries last week. Is this the same thing?
No. This is a Palm 10, it's called the 10th Triennial Pacific Island Leaders Meeting of what's left of some of these islands, because it was used for nuclear testing by the French and American governments. How ironic that it takes place on July the 16th, on the Tuesday, on the anniversary of the creation of the Japanese Communist Party in 1922. Japan is holding it on that day, and they're holding this Palm 10 thing, I think it's in Tokyo, on the day that in 1972, the United Red Army, a militant organization operated by Japan in the 70s, formed to overthrow the government of Tokyo. So I don't know whether we're going to see revolution in Japan. Certainly the rape cases are mounting up against American soldiers on occupied Okinawa as part of the Japanese island chain. We'll have to wait and see. The G7 trade ministers, Japanese trade minister, won't be there. They'll be in Calabria in Italy talking about openness of trade. No, they're sanctioning everything.
Okay. I think we should move on to Wednesday. And that's a big
You don't care about the EU energy ministers meeting? On Monday, actually, it finishes on the EU energy ministers' informal meeting ends on Tuesday, July the 16th. There won't be any mention of the fact that the United States, the CIA, destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline supplying vital energy for the poor of Western Europe from Russia as part of the campaign to defeat Russia through Ukraine. I'm trying to think of a segue to the fact it's the anniversary of the publication of The Catcher in the Rye. Let's go to Wednesday.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
July 17th.
We've got, this is interesting. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, again, is hosting a ministerial meeting in Washington for the America's Partnership for Economic Prosperity. Now, this includes foreign ministers from 12 America's partnership countries who are going to be there: the US, Barbados, Canada, Chile, Costa Rica, Colombia, the Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Mexico, Panama, Peru, and Uruguay. They're going to discuss the ongoing collaboration to fulfill the hemisphere's potential to foster inclusive, sustainable, and shared prosperity for all. Which all sounds very nice and positive. Although in 2023, the US announced just $5 million to this partnership, which is nothing compared what it sends to so many other countries. What has the United States done for these countries in the past? I know you're good with your history. Do they really want to help these Latin American nations?
That's such a test. Barbados. That at least is throwing away. They're throwing away King Charles of Britain, at least. Canada clapped the Nazis and the SS and the Holocaust, the entire parliament. Chile, things are getting better there slightly, aren't they, in Chile? Costa Rica tends to be a sort of a bank place for illicit money, isn't it? Not really doing much that's for the liberation movements. Colombia. Targeted now with regime change by the CIA. Dominican Republic, a complete U.S. satellite. Haiti shares the other part of the island, repeatedly overthrown by the CIA. Ecuador, complete CIA base. Famously, they got the CIA bases in return for handing up Julian Assange before his eventual release. AMLO in Mexico, interesting. He's always has to tread. It's not there, actually, AMLO now, isn't it? It's his deputy who now runs Mexico, isn't it? Whose name I know you can remember.
No, I can't remember.
One of the great anti-Zionist Jewish leaders of a large country, although I'm not sure how much he supports Emiliano Zapata. Panama, controlled, of course, by the United States because of its canal. They usually put a dictator in there and wipe out any type of democratic opposition. Peru, also now a U.S. satellite. Uruguay, similarly.
So it's going to be a productive meeting then.
What? So that's it's leaders from all. Is it leaders? No, it's ministers, secretaries of state in D.C. All of them in one place.
Yeah, yeah. Going to have a great time. Clearly, a lot to discuss though.
Wednesday, July the 17th. We're talking about subscribe International Criminal Justice Day worldwide. Surely, all these secretaries of state for the Americas Partnership can arrest Antony Blinken for being a butcher and war criminal as part of Criminal Justice Day.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, what is International Criminal Justice Day? You've got to explain. It marks the adoption of none other than the International Criminal Court, which it says serves to protect people from genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. Hasn't it done a good job on the justice?
I've interviewed that guy, Karim Khan, that British barrister who runs the ICC. What a plonker. I mean, seriously. There's genocide under his nose. He was only pushed by the International Court of Justice into eventually doing something after the petitioning of by the South African government and so many countries about the genocide in Gaza and in Jerusalem. And what's he going to do on International Criminal Justice Day? He's going to give a little press conference and say, oh, I forgot about the Gaza thing. I know it was in my in-tray, but I just thought I'd watch it on television as the babies are being slaughtered, the women are being slaughtered, the universities, the schools, the hospitals, the museum, the archaeology, the scientific and cultural basis of a nation, the wiping out. What's he doing about Donetsk and the eastern Ukraine, wiped out by Zelensky's stormtroopers? And about the wiping out of Russian language and the naming of Kiev as Kiev, as they try to do in Western European nations to erase the idea of the Russian language. What's that about?
So it's not going to be a good day for
criminal justice days when Karim Khan should be arrested. And anyway, 2003 Wednesday, July the 17th is the anniversary of the death of the government scientist David Kelly, my source at the BBC Today program. Who killed David Kelly?
How long ago was that?
2003. He told us that the Blair government was deliberately cooking up lies to get Britain into a war that would eventually kill, wound, or displace tens of millions of people. Tony Blair is now advising the British fake Washington puppet Prime Minister Keir Starmer. David Kelly is dead.
Okay. And another interview to air on Wednesday with US President Joe Biden, this time with journalist Ed Gordon from BET News. I think it's happening on Tuesday, airing on Wednesday. Biden's also meant to be doing a speech, actually, in Las Vegas on the final day of the UNIDOS US annual conference, which is going to be on the Biden-Harris administration's historic accomplishments, including lowering prescription drug costs for America's seniors, lowering the Latino uninsured rate, and creating a Latino small business boom they're going to be talking about. Good accomplishments, right? Not bad.
Well, the drug price is much lower.
For America's seniors, so Joe Biden.
Oh, right. I mean, they seem to have run out of drugs at local pharmacies, according to some people. I noticed TikTok is challenging at the Court of Justice of the European Union some kind of attempt at banning free speech on that platform. Frankly, if TikTok are watching, you deleted and permanently banned me again. That's my fifth TikTok account. What are you doing? I'm not even putting up anything particularly offensive. I'm not doing anything offensive at all. What is TikTok doing? If you're watching, the head of ByteDance, that Singaporean man who's continuously denying he's a Communist Party member from China, contact me.
How can you be permanently banned more than once?
I know.
It's permanent. It's permanent.
It's like TikTok works. But at least TikTok is doing valuable work educating the young with images of dead babies at the hands of British and American EU weaponry. I'm sure you want to talk more about Alejandro Mayorkas.
Oh, who is this? You tell me.
Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department for Homeland Security Secretary, speaking at 1:30 p.m. at the Aspen Security Forum on Wednesday, July the 17th. If you've got a helicopter.
Yeah, there's loads. There's loads all week talking about.
Get down there if you've got a helicopter. Drop down onto the Aspen Security Forum. It seems very easy, given how easy it is to just, I don't know, get a ladder, climb onto a roof with a AR-13 rifle in front of the leading politician of your country and just shoot at him. I think Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has something to talk about. U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs Roger Carsland's also at the Aspen Oligarch Security Summit. Hostages, as we now know, the Israelis killed all their hostages, most of them. They killed all those people on October 7th. What on earth are Israeli media saying that Israel killed more than Hamas on October the 7th, and that's not being reported anywhere? And who's Kimberly Cheadle? U.S. Secret Service. That's who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, the one doing the speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle speaking at what time? 9:50 in the morning with the head of Interpol, Jürgen Stock, and the Treasury for Terrorism Financial Intelligence, Brian Nelson. Time to go there if you can, if you've got a pass. That's why they speak at these secure places in the Aspen Security Forum, because people can't get to them. She has questions to answer. Were the Secret Service involved in the assassination attempt of Donald Trump? And many other questions beside.
Mm. And why they don't have great security for him in the first place.
And RFK Jr., remember, there were some reports that the Trump administration had said, we need more support. We need more Secret Service support. It was denied to them. The RF Kennedy campaign. His dad and his uncle, Jack Kennedy, were killed by assassins. That they've been denied any security.
Yeah,
it's obviously an attempt by the Biden administration to wipe out literally his opponents, is what some people are saying.
Yeah, I think RFK Jr., as you say, gets zero protection. I think Trump is former president, so he gets the protection. I think he has more than usual, but many don't have anything at all.
Mossad is protecting RFK Jr., though, because he's bankrolled by those slicing the heads of babies in Gaza.
Okay. Can we move to Thursday?
You don't think Wednesday, July the 17th, Republican National Convention Day, the penultimate day for the vice presidential nominee speech, is important?
Well, I actually want to get on to Thursday, more importantly.
No, but with the vice, who's going to be the vice president nominee and probably vice president of the United States? Who is Trump going to pick? Are you being quiet, Millie, because you are Trump's vice presidential pick? That is the question. I don't think we know. Lots of teasing by the Trump campaign who it could be. It would be amazing, wouldn't it, if it was Elon Musk, if it was Tucker Carlson.
Candace Owens.
Who is it going to be? And I noticed the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, which regulates all the leveraging of every loan of every person watching this forecast news, subscribe, is going to be talking about crypto asset exposure. Bitcoin immediately jumped on the news of the assassination attempt and that Trump had survived, because cryptocurrency is seen as allied to the Trump campaign now. Before, when he was president, he was against it. Now he's for it. This is a way to destroy the dollar, as Janet Yellen has been saying in recent days. And the Federal Reserve Board releasing the Beige Book on Wednesday, July the 17th, will be watched very closely for the entire world economy as the Western European economy collapses, according to most statistics. On World Emoji Day, which
on Wednesday. Okay, well, can we move to Thursday, where finally Donald
subscribe.
Trump... Subscribe. Thursday, where Donald Trump is finally going to be making his speech at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it's where...
Good pronunciation.
He's formally selected on this day, isn't he, by Republicans... Republicans to become the official presidential nominee. So he wasn't up until this point then. Weird. But he said, Trump, he said in this interview with the New York Post, he talked about the speech he's going to make on Thursday, and he said he's really toned down this speech. He's completely revamped it. He said, I quote, "I had all prepared an extremely tough speech all about the corrupt, horrible administration, but I threw it away," he says. He's now working on a new speech to try and unite the country. It's like we've really had a changed Trump from this this assassination attempt. Is he going to like change his entire framework of his speeches, of his policies? Like, we've got a different Trump, I think, haven't we? It's going to be unveiled on Thursday, and what he's going to say.
Why would he be nicer now that he knows the Secret Service didn't protect him properly from an assassin? Why would you be nicer? And he said it was going to happen in filed court documents from Mar-a-Lago.
Very surprising. Well, I think the fact that they did save him, albeit, you know, perhaps a little late and perhaps not as good as what they should have, but they ultimately saved him, and he's clearly had a bit of a scare, and he's feeling grateful that, you know, they didn't just leave him standing there at the very least.
I suppose you're right. I mean, I don't know whether the third plenum of the Communist Party Central Committee in Beijing continues on that day. I think they'll probably be ignoring the fact that Trump will focus, no doubt, on the need for a war on China if he's elected, because the forces around him are all about war on China. But then again, the head of the CIA, Bill Burns, who favors war on Russia, nuclear war on Russia, the former ambassador to Moscow, is speaking at the Aspen Security Summit at 1:30 p.m. So is that before Trump gives his speech in Milwaukee, the head of the CIA? Lots of people saying, of course, Bill Burns involved in covert attempts to destroy Trump's campaign, let alone covert attempts to destroy democracy all around the world. At least Bill Burns at the Aspen Security Summit, while not watching the Trump speech in Milwaukee, can watch the laughable French National Assembly, actually not so much laughable for him, that the European Parliament vote on Ursula von der Leyen's fresh term as European Commission President. She's just a puppet, completely owned. And perhaps Bill Burns of the CIA will reflect on the fact that they have Ursula von der Leyen, the EU, Washington puppet, there to become president of the European Union again on the day Adolf Hitler published Mein Kampf, and Jens Stoltenberg continuing at NATO on the day, 1942, July the 18th, when Norwegian paramilitaries helped the SS kill nearly 300 political prisoners in Yugoslavia, which was destroyed by Britain and the United States. The only beacon of truth and hope, arguably, on Thursday, July the 18th, away from Trump wanting to go to war on China, and according to you, going to tone down all the things he is rather good at, which is attack the military-industrial complex and the globalists, is the French National Assembly first session.
Ah.
That's exciting.
Very good. Well, we've got
mass demonstrations, riots in Paris.
Well,
riots in Paris. French elected protests by the CGT Communist Union across Paris, or is it across France? We'll see protests nationwide across France. So you'll see the stormtroopers of the militarized French security forces out in force to try and kill ordinary workers in France on July the 18th, despite the first session with Jean-Luc Mélenchon's party having the most MPs that they've ever had after the recent legislative elections on Nelson Mandela International Day.
Yeah, Nelson Mandela International Day, declared by the UN this day, weirdly, in 2010. But it's also...
don't move so quickly.
Nelson Mandela Day, that comes the same day, the official opening of Parliament in South Africa, where President Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be making an address. How do you think the world is going to remember Nelson Mandela Day?
Political violence. That's what Nelson Mandela is synonymous with. He, unlike Joe Slovo, members of the South African Communist Party, who didn't want attacks on civilians, Mandela, who I interviewed here in Dubai, actually, some 25 years ago, clear that he saw violence as as the major path, actually, for liberation of South African people. And of course, that was a stage. And then Mandela then renounced violence. And you see how political violence is essential to creating a fairer world. That's why the United States is a fairer place, because they engaged in political violence against the British. The British current system is only there because of political violence. Political violence is the bedrock of progress. So I don't really understand why everyone's going, oh my God, there's political violence in Pennsylvania against Donald Trump. We must condemn political violence. No, we must condemn an assassination attempt on a popular opposition leader.
Well, I think that there are many facets and reasons as to how solutions come to be. And some will say violence impacts that in some way, and some say not. But then people say,
name a country that came independent.
No, most countries have come from war. But what people say is, well, haven't we evolved? Can't we be better than that now? You know, back in the day. Obviously, most countries were.
I don't think the rich will
war in some way, but we should have moved on from that.
I don't think
we shouldn't
rich,
be living in a.
The
in
rich
a place
don't give power away. You have to take it off them. I think what you sound like is a film I saw on Netflix. Netflix results day at the New York Stock Exchange on July the 18th. Netflix, the global leader in propaganda to wipe out the minds of those watching. Netflix, and make them believe that peaceful means can be used to achieve political change, not violent. Netflix is a massive manufacturing consent organization to make the viewer think the world is rosier than it is, that change always happens for the good, and that the United States government is not as bad as it is. And that Gaza doesn't exist, obviously. Why are there not more on Palestine on Netflix at the moment? You'd think it's newsworthy. People will be interested in watching stuff with all the Palestinian films.
I think they would say they're making documentaries on Palestine. And there were a few things that came out a few months ago on Netflix on Gaza and Palestine. I remember watching them. But I hope you're never in power, Afshin, or we'll all be killing each other.
I'm for peace. I'm for peace.
You don't
actually
really sound like it.
The Netflix guy is going to be all week in, maybe one of them is, the Sun Valley Conference in Idaho. You're going to go there. It's a meeting where the big leaders of the entertainment military industrial complex meet to devise next year's films and dramas and poetry and novels. I don't know what else. Summer camp for billionaires. The guest list, so far, non-executive chairwoman of Paramount Global. I think Paramount was taken over, wasn't it, just the other day. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, who Elon Musk kind of says is evil, I think. Hollywood super producer Jason Blum, nothing to do with the other super producers and their legal cases. Mark Zuckerberg, the CIA cutout Facebook man. Disney CEO Bob Iger. Disney, of course, not just responsible for propaganda in cartoons. People should read How to Read Donald Duck, but also the films that Disney makes, which also try to control the minds of their viewers. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. Discovery CEO David Zaslav. They own television programs. Apple CEO Tim Cook. And Netflix CEOs Ted Sarandos and Greg Peters. Netflix, of course, championing documentaries that aided the propaganda effort against Syria as well.
Well, I think actually it would be nice to go to Blenheim Palace, where Sir Keir Starmer, new UK Prime Minister, is going to be hosting his first big summit, the European Political Community Summit, on Thursday, the fourth summit of its kind. 27 EU member states, the leaders will be there, as well as leaders from Albania, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Georgia, Iceland, Kosovo, Liechtenstein, Moldova, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Norway, Serbia, Switzerland, Turkey, Ukraine, and the United Kingdom. A big event for him.
Leaders from these countries. Kosovo is not a country, but leaders from these places.
Leaders, apparently, from these places are going to be going there.
How is it safe at Blenheim Palace, which is the birthplace of Churchill? I've been there, actually.
I've been there, too. What did you think of it? It's a great place.
Great place. I mean, given the person who was born there, created concentration camps in South Africa, created the Black and Tans torture squads in Ireland, supported the Nazis before a sudden understanding that actually maybe it's better to be against the Nazis than for them, and then lead us to victory.
Okay, well,
actually lead the Soviets to victory. We all know about church. I'm not sure all these leaders are going to go there, are they? How safe is it for Slovakia's Fico that's going to be there? Because, you know, there was an assassination attempt on him. I don't think it's safe for some of these leaders of Georgia. I wouldn't expect Slovakia, but Georgia is interesting. And some of these countries, the United States is trying to overthrow their governments. So puppet marionette Sir Keir Starmer. It'll be interesting, won't it? Yeah, him hosting that.
See how he fares in the big summit. Should we move on to Friday?
Yeah, I mean, no one gives a damn about nature-related financial risks from the Financial Stability Board report worldwide to do with the G20 ahead of G20 meetings later in the month, because nature-related financial risks, Britain, the European Union, the United States don't give a damn about, which is why they're sending cluster weapons, tanks, storm shadow missiles, depleted uranium tanks, bombs to attack Russia through Ukraine, despite the fact Putin says he's open to peace talks. Of course, Zelensky, the dictator of Kiev, has outlawed any idea of a ceasefire. And of course, the United States and Britain supplying the weapons for the genocide in Gaza. What has been done to the nature of that beautiful Mediterranean area known as Gaza, destroyed beyond all recognition? The green parties of Western Europe supporting this don't give a damn about nature.
Okay, well, subscribe.
Subscribe Friday. Let's go to Friday.
Friday, now the US ambassador to China again, Nicholas Burns, back on the agenda. He's going to be speaking at the CSIS, which we mentioned last week, and you actually gave a list of their funders. He's going to be talking about US-China relations, which, as we said earlier, it doesn't really seem like he's doing anything to help with this, although he has said a conflict between the US and China would be catastrophic for both sides, he does admit. He's not a relative of Bill Burns, I must add there, but he was succeeded by him as the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under George W. Bush. What do you think of this Nicholas Burns, who's popping up all over the place this week? He was also previously a US ambassador to NATO and Greece, I think, as well.
What are you saying? Possible presidential bid? I mean, obviously, we don't know whether the thing we were talking about for Wednesday's show, whether Trump will survive this week, whether there'll be another copycat assassination attempt. We don't know whether Biden will survive. We don't know how violent. I don't know how many people get shot dead every year in the United States. It's thousands of people. That's how violent that society is. So, yeah, what on earth is this man talking about? Why is he talking there at the CSIS? You're going to have to remind me about who funds it. I've forgotten. Well,
you were the one who had the list. But I think pretty much the same as always, the Gates, Rockefeller, Amazon, the ones we've listed.
Isn't it weapons companies?
I can't remember. It's many. Well, subscribe and watch last week's episode.
And then you'll see.
Give it away again.
They've exactly. Got to go back Friday, watch. July the 19th, arguably a better gig to go to than watching this man, the U.S. ambassador to China, is to watch Antony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, the two tragic comedians of the U.S. Biden administration, speak
at the FBI Security Forum.
How did you know? 9 in the morning in Colorado time is Butcher Blinken and Dan Sullivan at 9:45. Huh? Jake Sullivan at 12:50. Sullivan Brothers, who knows what? You know, more interesting than the Aspen Security Genocide Convention, which is what it should probably be called, which actually includes Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charlie Brown, as well. General Charlie Brown, Chris Coons, John Conwin. Aspen Security Summit, where all the genocidal people, that if there was any justice in the world, arguably, if there was a Nuremberg, they'd all be hanged. That's what some might say. The UN Security Council debates cooperation between the CSTO, the CIS, and the Shanghai Cooperation Organizations. That's the Collective Security Treaty Organization, the Commonwealth of Independent States. This is all across Eurasia and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. The New World Order at the United Nations Security Council, the proper world authority, the presidency, of course, occupied now by Putin's Russia. That's where the important stuff is going to be happening at 10 in the morning in New York.
Yeah, and we've got as well the International Court of Justice finally delivering its advisory opinion only on the legal consequences arising from policies and practices of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. Now, this comes from a UN General Assembly resolution in 2022, 30th of December, to request the ICJ give its advisory opinion on this. It's been a long time coming. What do you think they're going to say? And do you think there's any chance Israel's actually going
to... So that's way before October 7th when Israel slaughtered its people.
Yeah, this was before. This has been 2 years in the making.
This is the ICJ as opposed to the common jokers in the ICC. Mm. I don't think anyone cares about the International Court of Justice or the International Criminal Court. They're pathetic institutions. They certainly haven't done anything to award restitution for the United States death squads in Nicaragua, because Friday, July the 19th is Nicaragua Liberation Day, the day that the Sandinistas overthrew the Somoza death squad U.S. puppets in Managua. How ironic, actually. That's the same day that the great Russian poet was born, Vladimir Mayakovsky, in 1893. Mayakovsky's poetry banned, according to some reports, in Western Europe as part of the certainly cultural genocide of Russia in the European Union. The European Union obviously already hates immigrants from the wars it starts all around the world. So whether the International Criminal Court, the International Criminal Court of Justice does this or that, the days are over for these international institutions because the Global South is coming for them. And certainly, why is the International Court of Justice not saying that Thursday, the night before, because the world will wake up to this, the news of the execution of another person by the United States in Alabama, because that's what the United States does. It executes people. It has the largest population in detention per capita in history. And why is it the ICJ is doing that on the 2018 anniversary of the Knesset passing the Jewish supremacist nationality bill, which said Jews are more important than non-Jews. Christians can be spat on. There are images of that online. And Jews will take over the earth.
Well, maybe on Friday, though, there is going to be justice elsewhere. You tell me. The Boeing case continues, but they're going to have a plea deal. On Friday, the U.S. Justice Department is going to write a plea agreement with Boeing, due by Friday. As part of that agreement, Boeing is expected to plead guilty to conspiring to defraud the federal government in connection to the 2737 MAX crashes that killed something like 346 people. Boeing is going to be fined, under this deal, $478 million and is meant to invest a similar amount to improve its safety regulations. Though as of July 2024, Boeing has an estimated net worth of $112 billion, and they're expected to pay just a fraction of that. So is this justice, a plea deal with Boeing that killed hundreds of people to pay just a very tiny percentage of the money it has and say, okay, done, you're fine to go.
Even propaganda outfits like CNN showed the Boeing, what Boeing did to more than 250 people killed or wounded in Rafah in the past few days because of a Boeing bomb. Was that the Boeing bomb or Nusret refugee camp? I've got pictures of the Boeing logo on the aftermath of the beheading of babies because Blinken and Biden and Sullivan and all the rest of them. What's that horrible, arguably, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, putting her hand up to veto a ceasefire in Gaza. That's what Boeing should be done for, not being able to get out of killing 300, 400 people, which they deny culpability on by paying off $300 million for their 737 planes. It's for slicing off beheading babies. That's what Boeing does. It beheads babies, and they can't sue me for saying that. You know, the Daily Telegraph, a British newspaper of low repute, it printed a piece in the past few days saying that Russia are losing the war in Ukraine and they lost, I don't know how many people. They're just lying. But the Daily Telegraph, the auction begins. Millie, why don't you buy it on Friday?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
This is the troubled Barclay family that used to own Claridge's, didn't they have some? No, they owned the Ritz in London. It looks like the titles were seized as down payments from the Barclay family. They were twins, weren't they? Living in a strange island. Anyway, the Telegraph, that's the kind of people that owns the media in Britain and in NATO countries. Spiegel, all these different things. They're owned by strange oligarch people, which can try and control the minds of Western Europeans so they vote the right way and vote for war and murder. But this time round, Redbird, US investment fund Redbird, may be buying the Daily Telegraph, controlled by Abu Dhabi. So the UAE may get a little piece of the Daily Telegraph. Maybe it'll become a better paper and not one that continually supports companies like Halliburton, made so much money out of the Iraq war, results on Friday, July the 19th, at the stock exchange. Schlumberger, another oil field company. These are companies that lobby politicians, arguably for war.
Okay. Well, then, can we move to Saturday? I think we better move on.
Subscribe, July the 20th, Saturday.
Subscribe, Peace and Freedom Day in the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, which marks the beginning of the Turkish invasion on the 20th of July, 1974, after the coup in Cyprus, which was called the Cypriot coup d'etat, but Turkey considered it a peaceful operation to protect its Turkish population. That's very, very contentious, though, isn't it? And there's quite a bit going on in Northern
Britain
Cyprus.
Britain occupies some of the Greek side, Akrotiri, from where the planes take off to bomb or help targeting of children in Akrotiri. Why are the demonstrations not bigger at Akrotiri? Certainly Lebanese resistance says it will wipe out the British forces, as far as I understand it, in Akrotiri if there's any more antics from the Netanyahu government. So beware all you British soldiers occupying Akrotiri Air Base. How ironic, it's the anniversary on Saturday, July the 20th, of the CIA releasing documents under the Freedom of Information Act, revealing it had engaged in mind control experiments. The CIA and mind control experiments. Now that sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? No, the CIA actually said they did. They actually said it. Olaf Scholz, I think you were going to go to this. Yeah, no, another anniversary on July the 20th.
What, the Hitler assassination attempt, that one?
Go ahead.
What's that got to do with Olaf Scholz?
Olaf Scholz backs people with Nazi insignia in there. Klaus von Stauffenberg launched an unsuccessful attempt to assassinate Adolf Hitler 80 years ago. I think my dad met one of the people in the plot to kill Hitler, and it failed. Of course, Democrats, MSNBC, their propaganda organizations, compare Trump to Hitler, which is why the Trump campaign is saying they created the context which was kind of going to catalyze the kind of horrific assassination attempt we saw in Pennsylvania a few days earlier. So the Hitler assassination attempt will ring many different echoes and bells. But certainly Scholz today is backing those, I would say, not on the side of Klaus von Stauffenberg, who led that brave attempt at killing Hitler. Not that killing leaders and assassinations are usually a good way of doing things, are they? Not a great way of changing history.
I think he ended up being executed as well, because there were a few assassination attempts on him. Four were killed during that particular one. I think Hitler was somewhat injured.
Scholz is hated more than Hitler, arguably, in Germany. And he's going to be delivering remarks at a ceremony there in Bendlerblock at 11 in the morning Berlin time. I don't think he has the right, Chancellor Scholz. He's hated in Germany to ever be trying to associate himself with an anti-Nazi hero like Klaus von Stauffenberg, who tried to stop the Holocaust and who knows when else, given that Scholz is backing those wearing those Nazi emblems in eastern Ukraine. Israel, another country.
You forget it's 55 years, though, since Apollo 11, the moon landings by the United States, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, who landed on the moon, ironically, on the same day.
How are you connecting the moon to that one? No, more connected is Scholz's support for genocide in Gaza Germany supplying masses of weapons to Netanyahu to wipe out a population based on ethnicity. And it's the day that the FIFA absurd football council, they're going to meet on July the 20th and wonder about Palestine's motion to suspend Israel. Israel allowed to compete in the French Olympics this year. They were allowed to compete in Wimbledon. They were allowed to compete in the Euros, I think, the Eurovision Song Contest. Western Europe supports genocide. When will those in Western Europe and the population get it into their heads? They are the genocide makers. That is what they are. And when will China and Russia get it into their heads that only by taking out Europe can they stop genocide, according to some people. New economic plan in Colombia, I notice, on July the 20th. And Sloppy Joe's Bar, I know you're going to talk about this, far more important than the anniversary of Neil Armstrong becoming the first man to walk on the moon.
What's Sloppy Joe's Bar, like the mincemeat burger in the United States?
What are you saying?
Isn't that what it is? A Sloppy Joe is like a burger with mincemeat in it, isn't it?
It's the birthday of Ernest Hemingway, who backed the Soviet Union, I think, with John Steinbeck in a Russian journal, was it? He supported the Spanish freedom fighters in the Spanish Civil War, which lost after Britain and the United States supported the fascists, leading to World War II. Ernest Hemingway lived in Cuba. His birthday is on July the 20th. But then again, it's also the birthday of Petrarch, the great Italian poet, 1304, who told us it was great to climb mountains.
Okay. I think we better go to Sunday, just to quickly finish off.
Sunday, subscribe, July the 20th, 2024.
Sunday, what have we got? The Democratic National Committee's Credentials Committee, the U.S., is meeting on the agenda is whether to proceed with a resolution that would allow President Biden to be nominated as the party's presidential nominee through a virtual roll call ahead of its August convention. So the Democratic National Convention isn't to be held until next month. A virtual roll call to officially nominate Biden came in order to ensure Biden's name would appear on ballots in Ohio. They've changed the deadline, so this could still be scrapped, but also I think many are questioning whether they want Biden to run at all. Maybe he won't even be announced as nominee at this August convention. What do you think? I mean,
we know the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is a corrupt institution, anti-democratic, manipulative. We know that from WikiLeaks filings. But it wouldn't surprise me, would it, that they would want a demented man like Biden, demented old man like Biden, who's responsible for genocide, as their presidential candidate, despite his clear record of genocide, of supporting genocide.
You
while
turn into Biden whenever you talk about him.
Okay, Putin, the president of what? I mean, with DNC doing that on Liberation Day in Guam in 1945, Guam is not free. Guam is a colony of the United States. Yeah, I think we're all starting to have Biden moments. I think just on that reason alone, Biden should just get the hell out and make way for, who is it, Michelle Obama? Who is it going to take her place? Who knows who else is going to take the place? I think more interesting is the Tall Puddle Martyrs Festival in Dorset. Dorset farm workers were tried and deported to Australia for signing an illegal oath to unions in 1834. That Tall Puddle Martyrs Festival in Britain had an important echo effect right across the world about workers' rights. So I think it's more important than that.
I think the big one is Belgium National Day on Sunday. There's going to be a big parade in Brussels, festivals, celebrations, great things happening. You better.
Why do they celebrate? Why do the Belgians, this absurd chocolate nation which hosts a genocide parliament, host a national day on what day are we talking about?
This is Sunday. Doesn't this mark the anniversary of the inauguration of Leopold I? Was it as the first king of the Belgians in 1831? I think
people can comment.
Their national day.
We mentioned King Leopold before. He was responsible for genocide in Africa. He murdered, I think if you worked out proportionally now, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people. And the Belgians think they can celebrate this man as head of their state. What country is Belgium like, and shouldn't it be taken over? People can write to us about it. Sunday, 1949, July 21st, the United States Senate ratified the North Atlantic Treaty. So despite the conference being last week, NATO finally became the U.S. organization it is today, corralling all these countries under its military might so they'd never have democracy again. That's what NATO membership means. 1949.
Okay. I think on that note, we better leave it there. Do you?
I think so. Subscribe. Way more people watched last week. What's going on? I mean, I know it's a good show, but you know, you should have more important things to do, arguably. Subscribe, yeah. Though. Get a notification.
We thank you for watching, and particularly if you've got this far. This is quite a long episode, but thank you for watching or listening. As you know, we're available on all the main podcasting platforms. Please leave a comment, subscribe, like, all of that stuff means a lot. But we'll see you next Monday. Bye for now.